In the conch, no? Right, okay. So now in the preliminary worship of the spiritual master. So then Krishna Kshetra Prabhu points out that it can be done in one of two ways, is that of offering of samanya argya, or of the water within the conch shell, in the achman cup, you establish the samanya argya, and then with that water you can offer each of the 16 items, like that. Or if you have a deity that you're worshipping, then you can as much as possible offer the different items, the 16 items, or ones you can't do, you offer with the water from the samanya argya, or you can do it with the flower petals dipped in chandan. If there's plenty of flowers, then that's a little bit nicer. If you don't have, either the time-wise or the flowers, then doing it with samanya argya is fine. So basically you have those three options of worship. It means either simply just with the samanya argya, or varying that with the flowers and chandan, or offering the items. It's very important to note that these items must be separate from the ones offered to the deity. This is a totally separate worship. It's a preliminary worship to approach the main deity, but it's complete in itself. Right? It's not like the artik, because this is worship. We are approaching this spiritual master, taking blessings, but we are doing the worship also. Like that. Well, in artik, we're just approaching for his blessings. Going through the spiritual master means we're approaching him. We offer to him, it goes through the parampara till it gets to Krishna. Right? And we're assisting the spiritual master in the worship of Krishna. This is the difference. Artik, we're worshipping Krishna, approaching the spiritual master. Here, we're worshipping the spiritual master. And that is part of the process of coming to the point of worshipping the deity. You understand the difference? It's very important, because worship is ija, and approaching is yoga. So the whole concept that you're worshipping the spiritual master at this point is yoga. But what you're doing for the spiritual master is ija. Right? So ija for the spiritual master and ija for the deity are two different things. Right? You can't offer it and worship the spiritual master with paraphernalia. Then take that same paraphernalia and worship Krishna. It doesn't work like that. Right? Yes.
I was wondering what means argya, and why can argya replace any item? What is the spiritual?
This is samanya argya. Just means argya. Basically means it's purified water. The water has been purified, it has a pure state, and it can purify other things. So samanya argya is general argya used for purifying things. Like the achman that we keep on the altar technically is samanya argya. We also use it for achman. But when you take some water and sprinkle it on other items, that is the samanya argya. So its purpose is purifying other things. But samanya argya means it's general. It can be used for purifying yourself, purifying the paraphernalia, the room, anything like that. Later we'll get to what's called dana argya, like that. Dana argya means it's specifically for the deity, and that you can't just use for anything. That can only be used for the deity.
Is the same as visesh argya?
Yeah, same. Visesh means special. That's all.
The real name is dana argya.
Both. Like, which is the real name? Spiritual master or guru? Huh? Like that. So it has both. They're both correct. You know, just like the argya is an offering, maybe called argya, or sometimes it's called shankstapana, because you put it in the conch shell and install it in the conch. So what making it is called shankstapana. Offering it's called argya. But you take some of that and put it in a conch, in your achman cup. It was your samanya argya. And that becomes now dana argya. Like that. So depending upon where it's situated and what its purpose, it may have different names. But otherwise, sometimes the different names, they mean the same thing. metta.
And how it replaces the other items? How can samanya replace items? Like the offer 16.
Yeah, yeah. Means you say the mula mantra and the bij mantra of the thing, just like here, ete ganda pushpe. Right? So, if you have ganda, means chandan, and pushpa, flowers, then you offer that. You take a flower, dip it in chandan, and ete ganda pushpe, and you offer that, whoever you're offering it to. The personality that you're offering it to. Now, if you don't have ganda and pushpa, then you take water from the achman cup, the samanya argya, and the spoon, and say the same mantra. Right? So in other words, it's understood that you are replacing that with this. You want to offer that, but you don't have it. So you're offering this. Right? So Krishna says, offer a fruit, flower, leaf, water, you'll accept it. So even just if you have the flower, you offer it. If you don't have, the water. Like that. So in other words, puja can be done by anybody. No one can say, I don't have enough money to do puja. Right? As long as you can get together a cup and a spoon, then you can perform all the puja. There's nothing you can't do with an achman cup and a spoon. It means all the elaborate worship can be reduced down to just mantras and offering of water. Like it said, Advaitacharya worshipped the Shaligram just with Ganges water. It means this is what he was doing. He had no other paraphernalia. Right? Like that. He would bathe them, and everything else would be done by replacing the item with Ganges water. Very simple. You know? So here's the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu worshipping Shaligram, which is basically himself, is the Lord of Vaikuntha. Because there is a difference in the mood of Vaikuntha Pati. Is his mood is he is God. Because there's no creation, there's no maintenance is there, but there's no destruction. So there's no creation, no destruction. Only the maintenance, the eternal maintenance of the spiritual realm. So he's the Supreme Lord there. While Mahavishnu, his mood is I am the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. So there's a slightly different mood. That's why you see that in the manifestation, the Panchatattva is the essential manifestations of the Lord. So we see that Nityananda and Advaita are separately manifest. Because Balaram expands into all of the Vaikuntha Murtis. Right? So that's one expansion. Balaram expands into Mahasankarshan. And from there, then expands all the Vaikuntha Murtis. But from Mahashankarshan also expands Mahavishnu. Like that. So here, Mahavishnu is worshipping Vaikuntha Pati. Right? With the idea of serving the Lord. But he's doing it just with water. So it's his house, I say. I think Prabhupada says fervent call or like that for the Lord that brings him. So it's a devotion, like that, as we were discussing previously, that all except for Krishna is the only enjoyer, fully. And he expands into Baladev, so all the expansions of Baladev, all the other Vishnumurtis, they all are also the Supreme Lord and the Enjoyer, but at the same time as they have a mood of service attitude towards Krishna. Like that. So that mood of worshipping is also natural for them. But generally we don't see it. But in this, because they're all acting as devotees, then he can manifest this mood. Otherwise, and generally, one won't see the mood. Because the Lord is surrounded by his own devotees. Mahavishnu will be surrounded by the Suris, so then he can't manifest this mood. But we see that, so he has that desire. That's why he made that arrangement when Krishna was present. And Arjuna, he stole all the sons of the Brahmin, just so that Arjuna would make this vow that until he gets the this brings the suns back. If he can't do that, then he'll enter into fire. And he can't bring them back, and so then he has a problem. So Krishna doesn't want to see anything happen to his devotee. His devotee won't be vanquished. So then Krishna arranges to take him to where they are. You know, so that means they have to go to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. Right? So then he arranged this pastime. So that mood is there to worship. But generally, it's not available to him. So here it's very nicely available, as Advaitacharya. So he takes advantage. So he just worships in that method. But the essential point of that is then the devotion must be very great. Like that. Otherwise, better to have in the main puja, because that was the main puja. Right? That wasn't the Purvanga Karma. In the main puja, one should try to have as many items as possible. In the preliminary worship, then one can make that very simple. You know? Generally, in one's own personal puja, the simpler the better. In the temple puja, it has to be decided, established, how much they want to get into. Like that. You know, but generally for the individual pujari, it's not so important to get so detailed. Like you'll see that you have the Radha Krishna temple, there's Lord Chaitanya, they have a murti of Srila Prabhupada. So one pujari worships the deity of Prabhupada. So they'll offer all the 16 items, you know, actual paraphernalia. Who worships Lord Chaitanya will do that, the actual paraphernalia. So therefore the other pujaris in doing their Purvanga Karma don't actually have to get into offering all the paraphernalia. They can just do it with the chandan and flower petals, Ganda Pushpa, or with the Samanya Argya. Like that. Because otherwise so much time is spent on the Purvanga Karma that then one has very little time for the actual worship. Like that. So it's better to... Because the purpose of the Purvanga Karma is actually just to establish the mind in the right consciousness. That's all. So if the concentration is proper, the meditation is proper, then generally one can get that with just a simple offering. Because we see that the worship always comes after Manasa Puja. Right? Dhyana and Manasa Puja. So in the Manasa Puja you offer the items. So when you take the water from the Achman cup to offer the item with just plain water, one generally thinks of the offering that one's done in the mind. So the item is offered. Like that. So you the replacement is done there. It is done by the words, but it's done by the meditation also, by the thought. So both it's done. Like that. Okay, so that's just a general understanding. This same principle applies for Lord Chaitanya. When we're doing the preliminary worship, then generally if we're worshipping Krishna or worshipping Shaligram or Giriraj, like there's some form of Krishna or Vishnu, then we have a picture of Guru, we have a picture of Gauranga, and we do these preliminary worships there. Like that. So the main part is now, this part, what we come to next, is meditation on the form of the spiritual master. So then, first is we meditate on the place where the spiritual master is sitting, and then meditate on the spiritual master. So this is how dhyana works. First is establishing the place, then after is the personality that's there. Like we see in the Gaura Artik song. First we establish that Nityananda is standing on the Lord's right side, and then Advaita is there, and Garadhar is there, Shivas is holding the umbrella, Brahma is doing the artik. We establish the scene. That's the asana. Right? First thing is asanam. So you establish the scene in which it's going on. We discussed before that asana means the environment in which the worship is being offered. So after that is done, then you place the Lord there. Then you have Gauranga is sitting there. Right? That's how it goes. It says on the bank of the Jamuna, I mean the bank of the Janava, Janavi, the Ganga Devi, then this program is going on. Then it says more close. Then we have the Panchatattva there. Then we have Lord Chaitanya. So we see this is how it comes. This is the process of meditation. You think of the environment, make the environment very nice, then you put the Lord there. So now, how does that apply? It means this is the way we render service by Smaranam, right? The environment. That's why you see so many times when the Bhagavatam is talking about something, then it first describes the place, like Kardama tells. Bindusaroba, beautiful lake, the trees, only auspicious trees are there, only auspicious birds are there, very nice breezes, perfect place for meditation. Then it puts in the people. Right? So first is the place, the sthan. Then you put in the personalities. Then you describe the rasa that's going on. So that's how it works. So in here also, in our own application in our own life directly, besides how to do meditation, is when the heart is clean. The heart is clean, nice, pleasant place to be. Then one can call the Lord. Right? Otherwise, the Lord's not going to come to a dirty place. You know? The mind is full of all kinds of crazy things. You can't just bring Krishna right straight into that mess. First, you have to clear out all that mess, make a pleasant scene for the Lord, and then after that, then establish the Lord inside. Right? That is how, that's what's going on. So this is the devotional principle. As we mentioned, all these things go back to the philosophical principles of devotional life. So the point is that you first qualify oneself by making oneself pure. Then the Lord can be there. Right? So this is the position. So this is then seen here in the worship in the same way. Right? Just like if you have a guest, you're going to clean the place first and then invite them to sit. You're not just going to have a messy place and that. Somebody comes in while the place is a mess, and kind of as they come, you make a few last adjustments to try to make it less of a mess. You know? It's natural. It's the natural mood. Just like Krishna was on the, came back and after he left in the rasa dance, and when he came back with the gopis, then they came and they spread the, they made the sand nice, put out some cloth, asked Krishna to sit. It's just the way it works. This is how the whole interaction between people work. You create a nice place, you invite somebody there. Right? The materialists also, they want to have a big fancy house, nice gardens, nice cars. Why? Because they want to invite somebody into it. Right? But the difference is it's not for the other's pleasure, it's for their own pleasure. They know if the other people are pleased, they'll get what they want. So they're doing it. But the devotee is making nice arrangements to please Krishna. So that principle is there. So this is how it manifests in the puja. You establish the place nicely first, then you put in the personality. Is that understood how the dhyanam works? So that's always like that. So first meditating on the place where the spiritual master will be. Then we do that with this mantra. This meditation or thinking. At the Yoga Peet in Sri Mayapur, in the spiritual abode of Navadvip, Lord Gaurasundara sits on a jeweled throne. On his right side is Nityananda. On his left is Sri Garadhar. In front with joined palms are Sri Advaita and Sri Vas Thakur, who holds an umbrella over Sri Chaitanya's head. On a jeweled platform below Lord Gauranga's throne, my spiritual master sits. Then, with this mantra, Patashriman Navadvipe, Dvinetram Dvibhujam Gurum, Varabhya Pradam Santam Smare Tan Nama Purvakam. In the morning, one should remember the spiritual master as being situated in Sri Navadvip, having two eyes and two arms, as being peaceful and as bestowing all benediction fearless upon chanting his name. Of bestowing all benediction and fearlessness upon chanting his name. Then you say the Prema Dwani for the spiritual master, Jayam Vishnupad, the name of the spiritual master. Like that. Because it says by remembering and saying the name, then one is purified. So the whole point, fearlessness, means that we understand our relationship with the Lord. That is actual fearlessness. when we know, we become fearful when we don't know something. If we know something, there's no fear. So fearlessness, actual fearlessness, means understanding our relationship with Krishna. So we understand that we are connected to Krishna through the spiritual master. So this is what we're doing here. We become fearless because we know our connection. We know how we're going to approach the Lord. Right? We are the servant of the servant of the servant. And that is always there. We understand. So here we've established in the Yogpit in Mayapur. Then we have the Panchatattva, and then sitting at the feet of the Panchatattva is the spiritual master. By remembering him, chanting his name, then we become blessed and free from, we understand our proper situation, our proper relationship. So that is what happens. Right? This is the principle. This is how Krishna wants it. Right? That's how Krishna wants it. Because he wants to see you approach. See, if it was just a matter of, it's like this, it was just a matter of us directly approaching the Lord, you know, Krishna Das, right? Instead of Das Anudas, but Krishna Das, then we would have been manifest already as the internal potency, not as Tathasta, right? Because the internal potency directly serves the Lord, right? So Krishna, to expand his pleasure as Atmarama, expands the internal potency. Atmarama is fully satisfied, but to expand that rasa, tasting of the rasa, right? Then he manifests the internal potency. To expand that taste, he expands the jivas. Therefore, our position is das anudas. Right? Servant of the servant. And in this case, because we're going to approach, so it's servant of the servant of the servant. Right? Because already the mainline jivas are already serving. We are coming to serve them. That's our position. Right? So all this is establishing that fact. That's the purpose of the dhyanams and of this whole meditation on the spiritual master. Yes.
I have a question on this. The devata, when it becomes liberated, it becomes Haladini Shakti or something?
It becomes under the protection of Haladini. It's like iron and fire. No, it doesn't change. Jiva is always a jiva.
Well, when I was starting to go to Panchatattva, I was thinking that Gadara.
So that means, if that was true, then why would Srivas be manifest? Srivas is a liberated soul, but he represents the devotees, the jivas.
Yeah, but this created the confusion. I was saying Srivas had to change the jiva bija, and then I heard that he had to change him to Shiva.
Doesn't really matter. These kind of things. I never heard that. No, that's... Shreem is not going by that way of doing it. See, there's two ways you get mula mantras. Well, there's three ways you get mula mantras. General way is you just put Om in front of the name in dative case with Nama at the end. Second way is to take the first syllable and put Anushwar at the end of that. Then put the name and dative case, and then Nama. Right? Then the third is that they have the Shastra gives a specific mantra, a specific bija syllable for a specific deity. So if you don't have a specific bija, then you can use one of the other two. Right? So Srivas, the first syllable is Shri. So then you become Shreem. But it's not Shreem like Shreem in the internal Vladini potency, yeah. Shreem. That's just taking, it's just like Prahlad. You can get Pram Prahladaya. Or you know, Hum Hanumate. Like that. You can do that. You can get Om Hanumate, or you can Hum Hanumate. You know, or he may have a specific bija. So the Shreem there is not from this way. The stream is coming from the other, because he's guru. Because even you see, I think Tunga Vidya, her mula mantra is I'm. Because she gives all knowledge. She knows all the shastras.
I don't understand, because she's directly in Krishna's vilas and she's part of the Nalini potency.
Yeah, so, but what does that got to do? The beach syllable makes what you are or not?
I was thinking the Nalini Shakti has all the Nalini Shakti stream at beach.
You can use it, but they have specific, then that means, see, this is because we look at it from tattva, which is important for understanding the philosophy, but it's only the stepping stone for rasa. Right? The philosophy is so that we have the right mentality and all doubts are removed. So we must be very careful to not, by the philosophy, create doubts. Right? So now we take it that everyone is an individual. But at the same time, we just say everybody's got to be the same. Right? So by the nature of her service, she does particular service in Krishna's lila. Someone else does another service. It's all internal potency, but there's a lot of difference in their relationships and how they deal. Right? Mother Jashoda's internal potency, but Krishna has one relationship with her. The gopis are another internal potency, another relationship, because they're also manifesting from different aspects of the internal potency. The Haladini, Sambit, and Sandin. So it's all internal potency, but they're manifesting from these different parts. So you get variety there. You know, it's not sure what it mentions it. It doesn't give all of them here. Okay, but otherwise the principle is understood. Okay, then after that we worship the spiritual master in the mind, Manasa Puja. So Manasa Puja, we meditate on offering 16, 10, or 5 upachars to the spiritual master. So now, in doing this, the point is it shouldn't be taking that much time. Time should go fairly quickly. And, you know, so it should be a few minutes. Otherwise, the tendency is one might fall asleep, one might get distracted, think of something else, or one may take too much time that one doesn't have enough time to perform the main puja. So in this, while you're doing this, then you just go through however many items you want to do, 16, 10, or 5. So 16 means all of them, including the bath, dressing. 10 means the first 5 of receiving, asanam swagatam, padyam argyam achmaniyam, and then gandapushpa dup deep naivedya. Like that. So you're receiving and you're worshipping. Like that. Or 5 means you just take those of worship. Like that. And then that makes the complete Manasa Puja. You pick that. So in this, that one may do the situation, one may, see these things going on. You may just make pictures like that, or whatever it is. But it should be quick, just depending upon how your mind works. You know, some people's minds will work in pictures, some people's will work in video, you know, moving, whatever it is. But whatever, however it works best for you, you do. Okay, then you go through these different ones, through asanam, swagatam, padyam, argyam, achmaniyam, marupaka, punarachman, snaniyam, vastram, abharanam, ganda, pushpa, dup, deep, naivedya, like that. Then after that's done in the mind, you do it externally, either with the water or with the flower petals, or if you have the deity, then by actually offering the things. If you're also working using a picture, you want to go through, you can also go through, you can do a mix where you do most of them with the water or with flower petals, and then some of the items you actually offer, like the incense maybe you offer, the flowers you offer, like that. You know, whatever you have, lamp, you have, you can. And then what you don't have, you replace with flowers or water. After that, then a stuti. You offer prayers, right? Yeah, stuti is some kind of prayer. So here then it is, this one is given, is from Gopika, Prishadavesh, Tanayan TKC, Sevari Karani Guru Nijapada Padme, Dasyam Pradaya Kurumam Brajakanane Shri, Radhangri Sevanarase Sukhinim Sukhabdhau. O beloved spiritual master, you are always in the presence of the cowherd girl Sri Radha, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Please award me service at your lotus feet, which are the proprietors of devotional service. Please place me in the ocean of joy by bestowing upon me happiness in the mellows of service at the lotus feet of Sri Radha and the groves of Rajadham. So these are, I think, all taken from the original puja book of Kesha Maharaj. Kesha Maharaj in the Gaudiya Math, there were two or three padatis on performing. His was the most like direct and very, very nicely well done, laid out, very short. So Prabhupada wanted a book based on that. Our Archan Padati to be based on that Archan Padati of Kesha Maharaj. So then in there, it's quite simple, straightforward, but there's not much explanation because it's in, you know, it's just in Bengali, in Sanskrit, and it's pretty much the Bengali devotees can understand what's going on. Just a little explanation, do this, then do this, then do that, and that's all. Then that was then made, it, the white book came out, white puja book, the first Archan book, and in that, then it was, those things were translated, and they added in a few things. Because they're mentioned Hari Bhakti Vilas and like that. Then, but they didn't explain them much. They weren't explained very well. So then in this book, then Krishna Kshetra then tried to organize it in such a way it would be easier to understand, you know, as a means of application and study, and to try to explain as much more as possible of what's going on in the puja. So then that, you know, then the book gets a little bit fatter. So these are original mantras from that are given in that book. Then after stuti, then is pranam, offering prayers. So then omagyana, then the mantras for the spiritual master, then the panchatattva maha mantra, Hare Krishna maha mantra, like that. And if one wants to know more, then in the supplement, there are more prayers. So this is a basic principle on how worship is being done. You have the meditation, which has the two parts, is the meditation on the place and then on this personality that will be there. Then the manasa puja, where we offer the items of worship. Then the bahir puja, where we actually offer the items, like that. Then after that's done, then prayers, stuti, stava, like this. Then after that, pranam. So that's a standard format. And that's used for the Guru Puja. The exact same thing will be used for Lord Chaitanya in this preliminary puja, like that. Though the mantras may change, like that. So here, we're meditating on Navadvip for in the dhyanam. Svardhun yas charu tire spuritam ati brihat konama prishtabhagatram ramya rama vritam san mani kanaka maha sadma sangai paritam nityam pratyalayoda nityam prayalayodat pranaya bharalasat krishna sankirtanadhyam Shri Vrindathav Abhinam Tri Jagat Anupamam Shri Navadvipam Ide. I praise the holy Dham of Navadvip, being entirely non-different from Sri Vrindavan. It is completely different from the material world, consisting of the three planetary systems. Situated on the beautiful banks of the Ganga, Navadvip is covered by lovely groves and gardens, and it appears like the back of a giant turtle. That holy dham is filled with many great palatial houses, made of gold and bedecked with brilliant jewels. And in those houses, devotees are always performing Krishna Sankirtan in the mellow of ecstatic love. Then, after that, then this mantra for thinking of the form of Lord Chaitanya. So now that we've established Navadvip, Shriman Mautika Dhamma Baddha Chikuram Susmera Chandrananam Shri Kanda Guru Charu Chiritravasanam Shrag Divya Bhushan Chitam Nitya Vesha Rasanumora Maduram Kandarva Vesho Jvalam Chaitanyam Kanaka Dutim Nijajanai Samsevyamanam Bhaje. I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is being served by all his devotees and associates, whose hair is bound with strings of pearls, and whose moon-like face bears the nectar of his gentle smile. His beautiful golden body is adorned with lovely garments, anointed with sandalwood and aguru pulp, and bedecked with garlands and various glistening ornaments. He is extremely charming, absorbed as he is in enjoying the sweet mellows of dancing, and his dress is more splendid than even Cupid's. Then after that, we offer the 16 items in the mind to Lord Chaitanya. And then we do the offering these items with the Samanya Argya, the flowers, while ringing the bell. We go through the 16 items. Then after, we offer some prayer. So here he gives... One thing is here in the 16th item, because your 16th item is to offer prayers and different things. Then for Guru and Gauranga, after you finish the preliminary, after you've done offered the worship, then one can chant the Mula Mantra or Gayatri Mantras of the deity 10 times each, like that, as part of the 16th item. Then after that, then is the Stuti and Stava. So then here for Lord Chaitanya, Anarpita charim chirat karunaya vyatirna kalau samarpayitum unnato jvala rasa sva bhakti shriyam hari putrat sundara dyuti karambha sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuratu va sachinandana. May that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in this age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 1.4. Then Panchatattva Mahamantra and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay. then for Radha and Krishna, then this is still part of the Purvanga karmas, it's still yoga. Well, we are now purifying the mind by now meditating on Radha and Krishna. So then many verses are given here from the Gautamiya Tantra. It says here, Vrindavan Dham is an abode of ever-increasing joy. In that transcendental land grow flowers and fruits of all seasons, and various birds fill it with sweet sounds. Cool breezes and the Jamuna's waters enhance the atmosphere, and all directions resound with the humming of bumblebees. Vrindavan is decorated with wish-fulfilling trees, embraced by many varieties of flower-bearing creepers, and its divine beauty is ornamented with the pollen of red, blue, and white lotuses. The ground is made of jewels that shine with the brilliance of 10 million suns rising in the sky at once. On that ground is a garden of desire trees, forever showering divine love. And in that garden sits a bejeweled temple with a pinnacle of rubies. Bedecked as it is with various jewels, that temple shines brilliantly in every season. It is beautified with brightly colored canopies, glittering with various gems, and endowed with coverings decorated with rubies, as well as gateways and arches inlaid with gems. That temple shines with the resplendor of millions of suns and is eternally free from the 6 waves of material miseries. Within it sits a great golden gem-inlaid stone throne. In this way, one should meditate on Sri Vrindavan Dham, the divine realm of the Supreme Lord. I think this is, I'm not sure, this is only part of it. Yeah, this is the most essential part. I'm not sure if in the supplement it gives the full, it's even bigger, the original meditation. Then, after that, then we place Radha and Krishna. Now we've given the whole place, we've shown what that throne is. Then, Divyad Vrindara Nikalpa Drumara, Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto, Shishi Radha Shila Govinda Devau Prashtalibhi Sevyamanau Smarami. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Shishi Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I meditate upon them. So then this brings us, we've made the place, the throne, now we've established Radha and Krishna on that throne. Then we offer 16 upachars to Radha and Krishna within the mind. And these we must, So this then purifies the mind. So this is the end of the part of purification of the mind. Now the mind has been purified. Now is ready to take on the actual worship of Radha and Krishna. When we're offering these items that will come up, then we find that we remember what we have offered in the mind. It's a very important part. So even though one is externally offering the item, so whether one is offering with water, one will remember what one is offered. And even if one is offering the item, one still remembers. So this keeps the mind in line, keeps the mind fixed. And it adds to what we can offer to the Lord. Because otherwise, what external items we can get together, right? We don't have nice blue lotuses and all these things. So whatever we have, we offer that. The devotion is the most important. But that by that meditation, the worship in the mind, you can upgrade what the offering actually is. Like that. Because worship within the mind is accepted. This is the interesting thing in Kali Yuga. You worship the Lord in the mind, that's accepted by the Lord. But you only are held responsible for what activities you do or say. You say something or you do an activity. In other words, what becomes external, you're held responsible for. But you get the benefits of what internally you think of as service for the Lord. So it's quite a good deal. In previous ages, even you thought about doing something bad, you got the reaction. Right? If you thought about it, you got the reaction. But in Kali Yuga, you don't get the reaction of that thing. You may get the reaction of your mind is wild, so therefore, you know, your devotional service may be affected by that. But you don't get the reaction of what you thought. Right? It may reduce your spiritual enthusiasm if it's, you know, not a very proper thought. But you don't get the reaction for it. The actual, how you'd say, you do an item, you get a particular reaction for that. That you don't get. It may reduce your devotional enthusiasm, but it doesn't, you don't get a direct reaction. But in the Manasa Puja, by offering it, you get the benefits of that worship. Okay? So now this ends the purification of the mind, yes?
If we participate in the temple, and we are stressed out and meditating about some, you know, problems, or somebody said me something, or I have to face such kind of problem, and we can say only externally we're participating in this program, you know?
Yeah.
Then we can say, what kind of benefit is this?
You get the benefit of having externally participated. But that is there. But if you also, the mind is engaged, you know, then you get more benefit. So benefit is there. But benefit will be in proportion to how much you're actually involved. That's why you see you go and then you can't even remember if you were at Mangalarti or not.
If we're not meditating, you know, then it's difficult to say that we have devotion, you know. Maybe we have devotion to this problem related to the deity, who knows. But, you know, what I have to say that looks like, you know, if there is no meditation, there is no devotion. If there's no devotion, then what kind of...
At least you made the endeavor. You got out of bed and you're in the temple. You know? So Krishna accepts what is the good, but Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So because in that situation, we're not so involved. We made the endeavor. We're there. We get the benefit for that. But now if we actually participate and are fully absorbed, then we get even more benefit. So it's just to that degree that we understand what we're doing and we participate, then we get benefit. Therefore, we always try to, you know, see to the quality. In the beginning, we discussed that in the beginning we may be absorbed in the quantity, but ultimately, but we have to get into the quality, because externally we can only expand the quantity so much. Krishna, of course, can expand it unlimitedly. So at one point, we have to start working on the quality. Right? And that becomes much greater.
Much difficult.
Yeah, more difficult. Okay, then after the Manasa Puja, then we establish the Visesha Argya. So here we place a conch, the main conch that we're going to use for offering the Argya. It can also be the bathing conch. If you only have one conch, then you put the one conch on its stand. If you have two, then you have one for the bathing and one for the Argya. Like that. So in that, then you put water in there. You put water in there, and if you have all the different items to put into it, all the different things that are mentioned here, you can put them in there. Or, if not, one can just offer plain water. Okay, conch bell. Argya. Flowers, you may put these things in the Argya. Flowers, white rice, barley, sesame, darba, kusa trips, white mustard seeds, and sandalwood paste. All mixed with the water. Or it may consist of yogurt, milk, white rice, kusa tips, barley, sesame, and white mustard seeds, all mixed with water. It's mainly water. You may just put a little bit of yogurt and milk just to give it a nice color, purify. Because this thing is sprinkled on somebody, so you don't want globs of yogurt and all that happen. It's just something, just to purify it. Or alternatively, you can just put sandalwood paste in the fresh water. Yeah. Okay. So like that. So it can have just a flour in there, sandalwood paste in there, or all these different kinds of items, depending upon what facilities you have. Then taking some water, one will sprinkle that on it, doing prokshana, like that, showing the chakra mudra, the galani, then the dhenu, the sarabi. And then after that, one will invoke the Ganga, if it's not from the Ganga or Jamuna or any holy river. If it's already some holy river or holy place, you don't do this. This is only when you just have plain water. Then you invite these rivers. If some river or holy place is already there, then by saying this mantra to invite them, then they get upset and leave. I think we discussed this before, didn't we? Yeah. So that's only there. Then we put in the Mula Mantra, Gayatri Mantra of the main deities, main deity, into the water, or Bija, whatever. The Bija syllable of the main deity means who you're going to be worshipping. Here is for Radha and Krishna, or the Mula Mantra, or the Gayatri, or all of them. Depends how much time you want to spend, but any one of them is enough. Then after that, now we've purified the water there and brought it up to the spiritual platform. Right? We've, by the prokshana, then that purifies it, then by the chakra galani, then that removes anything impure. The galani is a strainer, because you don't always know what's, as far as you know, it's pure water, but there may be something in there that we don't know about. So the strainer is for that, the galani is for that purpose. Then we show the dhenu, which is to make it into nectar. And now once it's nectar, now we can put in the Ganga or whatever else, and then the deity's Mula Mantra, and it's spiritualized in this way. So by invoking the Ganga and the Mula Mantra, then you bring Ganga, spiritual, and then you specify it according to the deity. Then we're going to worship the deity. Oh, I see. They just worship the deity in here. Okay. Do that. What I'm talking about is in the supplement, where you actually install the deity. Okay. So then, after that, then you worship the deity with Ganda and Pushpa in the conch shell. And then after that, you take a little bit of that and pour it into the Samanyargya. Because now the Samanyargya will become your Dana Argya for offering to all the different, anything you're missing in the puja. Like Angavastras, cloths for, you know, wiping, gumshas like this. Anything you don't have, it'll be done with this Dana Argya. So after establishing the Visesha Argya, you pour some into that conch, into that Achman cup. Another way of doing this is that you may have Padyamargyam Achmaniyam in separate pots. If that is there, then one can pour water into that from the main pot and then establish the Dana Argya in there, this Visesha Argya there. And then some of that you put a drop into the Achman cup. When it comes time for offering the Argya, you just take from those cups, like that. You can also have that main argue as the cup there, and any other time you're going to offer, then you can take from the cups. Is this not becoming too complicated? In other words, you can have Dana Argya in the conch shell that you're going to offer Argya, because we're going to do the 16 items when we come to the item. When we come to the fourth item, Argya, we're going to offer it with the conch shell. Right? Then we finished with that. From then on, any other time we come up to Argya or like this, we'll take it from the Achman cup that we have, the Dana Argya. Right? So another alternative is you may have, besides the Dana Argya, a set of small cups, small Achman cups with Padyam Argyam Achmaniyam. That whenever you come across those in the puja and you want to replace them, rather than using the conch shell and going through the whole thing, you take from there. Right? And then the Dana Argya serves just for anything that's not Padyam Argyam Achmaniyam. Angavastrams or things that you just don't have. Right? Or you can not bother with any of this and just have the Dana Argya, install that, and when it's time for offering that, the Argya, you just take it out of that Achman cup. Right? So you can have the Dana Argya only, Dana Argya with the conch shell, Dana Argya with the Padyam Argyam Achmaniyam in separate Achman cups. So it depends upon what is your facilities, how complex you want to make it, how your brain works, and you can expand it in this way, right? So we can see that it can be quite complicated, right? And this is we're just dealing with the main book. Supplement there gets a little bit more complex. Like that. But the principle is that Argya is an item to be offered, but it's also will be used for replacing the other items, the Dana Argya. But that doesn't mean with all the, you know, all the seeds and the flowers and the yogurt and milk. That's only for the offering the fourth item of Argya out of the 16. But supplementary items, that's done with the Achman cup that has been made from Samanya Argya up to Visesha Argya by pouring a drop of that water from that conch into it. Right? Or if one doesn't have that facility, then one just takes the Samanya Argya and does to it what we just mentioned here. If you've already done all these things of purification, which would have been done before for the Samanya Argya, only thing now you do is redo the mantras. Now instead of just having Om inside, now you put in the beach syllables of the deity. And then after the worship the deity in the water. Then that becomes now your Visesha Argya for offering as the fourth item in the 16. And it can be used to replace any other item that's missing for the deity. Right? And then once that's done, then you establish the seat where the Lord is going to sit for the puja. So then taking some chandan, you draw a lotus-shaped mandala with 8 petals in the snanpatra. And in the middle, you write the kambija in the center of that lotus. And meditating on this holy dham and the spiritual master, offer flower petals dipped in chandan to the peat. Because we understand that the peat is the dham. And our entrance into the Dham is through the spiritual master. Right? So we always establish the Dham first and our approach to that through the spiritual master. So again, the same principle is being used in the meditation. The Lord, the Dham or the situation first, then the Lord. Right? So here again, we're drawing the chandan with the lotus petal, the lotus flower, and in the middle of that we're putting the Lord's place with the kambija. And then, respecting our spiritual master and the Dham, then we're going to bring the deity there. We see the similarity in how things work? Yeah? So the same principle is always there. Now we've applied that to Jnanam and Manasa Puja of the Guru, of Gauranga, of Radha and Krishna. Now even in the external worship, the same principle is there. Right? We want to bring Krishna into our heart. We have to purify it first, make it where we're always thinking of the Lord, then the Lord will come and sit. Right? So the same principle is applying in all these situations. Right? So one understands these principles, then it becomes very easy to apply the worship that you have in so many different situations. As you see, so many alternatives are there, but they all must be based on the principle. then it becomes, then the puja, deity worship becomes very easy, because you understand the principles behind it, and you can apply it in any situation. Same with anything. So we're discussing the culture. You understand the principles, then you know how to apply it. So every branch of knowledge has these principles, these basic principles, and you understand that, you can establish, and then it becomes very, very nice. Okay, so that will end here, because now we will start the external puja, the actual worship at this point. Now we're going to switch from yoga into ija at this point. Are there any questions on this? Yes.
Very funny question, but would it be technically possible to do an ashwamedha yagya only with water?
To do an ashwamedha yagya only with water.
Something big. Something big. The yagyas of the past ages to get the same benefit in Kali Yuga.
You could, but one has to go through all those things. So that means that on the day that you're supposed to, like, put in the first layer, or when you're supposed to plow the earth, you know, then you can go out there with your Achman cup, and instead of a golden plow and all that, you can use your Achman cup. Then so many days later, when the next auspicious time comes, then you can start, you know, leveling the ground, doing all the things, and then preparing the bricks. You have to hand make all the bricks for the kunda, right? And then, after they're all dry and everything, then on the next auspicious day, but instead of the bricks, I guess you use your Achman cup again. So then, on the next auspicious day, then you have to start building, you know, the first layer. Then after so many next auspicious time, you do the next layer, the next layer, the next layer. This is how yagyas would take them so many years to do. So it would take so long just to set up. So as long as you want to start on all those auspicious times and all those, and know exactly what it is you have to put in there, I mean, it's very complex, then you could possibly do it. So that combined with meditation, you could probably get a long way. You know, one could say that, well, one could also just do the meditation that these auspicious days come, and I think of that. But one has to know all that stuff. And then after that, then, okay, you've done one ashwamedha yagya. All right? But as a brahmachari, maybe a little bit of a problem, because you have to meditate that your wife cuts off the head of the horse and then sleeps with it that night. So that means in your mind you're going to have a wife, because you can't perform the ashwamedha yagya without a wife. But make sure that she's strong-willed enough that she'll be able to cut the head off of the horse. She only has 3 strokes to do it. She can't do it in 3 chops, then the yagya is useless.
Spoiled,
yes. So make sure in your mind you marry a lady who's got that strong will, that she can chop off the head of a live standing horse. Right? Okay. I guess after you've done all the ashwamedha yagya and got all the material benefits that you want, then in your mind you could take sannyas like that. So then you could avoid all the difficulties of having married a lady who can cut off horses' heads in 3 strokes, right? So that means it would probably, if she could do that in at least three strokes for the horse. The horse's neck is quite big. She could probably take off your head in 1 stroke. So one has to be a little careful. Therefore, only kshatriyas would do these things, because they could control the women that can cut off a horse's head in 3 strokes. Right? So brahmins generally wouldn't, because they wouldn't have the power to control such ladies. Okay, so that's one thing you'd have to seriously think about in your ashwamedha yagya with your Achman cup and your meditation. Now, Rupa Goswami mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, by taking prasad once, that you get, just to give an idea, it's not even proper to give such comparisons, but just to give an idea, it's like the benefit of having done 10,000 ashwamedha yagyas. So it might be easier than just to sit down and have some nice prasadam like that. Then you don't. Then you get all the benefit. Why one? 10,000 you'll get. Right?
We can also, by meditation, eat prasadam.
Yeah, and you could by meditation take that prasad, then you don't have to worry about all these things. And like that. So, in other words, this is a pancharatric system, and it's meant for the pancharatra. It's not meant for Vedic. The benefits you get out of the Vedic systems, you get from the pancharatra. The Vedic systems of worship, you get the benefit in pancharatra. Because pancharatra is a mix of the Vedic and the tantric. Like that. So whatever is important from the Vedic is there in the pancharatra. What is ever important from the tantric is there in the pancharatra. Therefore, for us, we follow the pancharatra. That's the most important system for us. Like that. We don't get much into straight tantra that's not connected with the pancharatra. You know? Or, you know, recommend. Like Gotamiya Tantra. That's there. That's accepted by our acharyas. But otherwise, generally, we stick to the Gotamiya Tantra, Hayashirsha, Pancharatra, Ahirbhudnyaya, Narada Pancharatra. Generally, these are our main pancharatras. And of tantras, Gotamiya Tantra. Because Gotamiya is specifically about Radha and Krishna. It's very nice in that way. Yes, so I guess with that note, we'll end the class here. It's an owl. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.